Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's read starting in verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8 says this. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, to feed thee, to help you. So he arose," verse 10, "and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now pay attention. Verse 12, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." She had nothing left. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord," verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, it never ran out, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." There's a reason we sang this morning, "The Lord Will Provide." There's a reason I decided to pull that song, Jireh, out. We haven't sung it in a while, that says, "You are enough." The message today is entitled, right from our I Believe series, "I Believe the Lord Provides." I believe the Lord provides. We're going to look in this passage and at this story of Elijah and the widow woman and her son, and kind of pick it apart verse by go throughout it and give you some help this morning. I believe the Lord will provide. Let's pray together and ask God to bless. Father God, we love you. Thanks for being so good and faithful to us. Bless your people this morning. Give us a great service. God, help people's hearts to be helped. Do what only you can do. And Lord, help us. Lord, maybe people in the room today that are waiting on an answer. They're waiting on a need that needs to be met. And God, help them at the end of this sermon, after they hear your word preached, God, that they'll know that you provide. You are God the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. That is who you are. Lord, so please bless this sermon. Bless me. Give me strength. Give me power. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What do you do when your barrel looks empty? The widow woman here, Elijah said, "Hey, make me a cake, make me some bread." She goes, "I got nothing. I got a little tiny bit in the bottom of my barrel, a little tiny bit of oil, and that's it. I'm going to make a cake, and we're going to eat it, and that's all we got left. We're probably going to die." What do you do when the barrel looks empty? Have you ever stood in front of a situation in your life that looked completely empty? Your strength has about run out. You have faced so much in your life, and you are running on empty, it feels. Maybe it's your finances. It's an easy one to talk about when you're talking about provision. Hey, man, I need more money. I got to pay these bills. I got to do this. I got these medical bills or this or whatever it may be. Maybe it's even something like your emotions are on empty. You care and you care and you give and you give, and you don't take care of yourself spiritually at all, and you feel like you got nothing left to give. Maybe you get to a point when all you have in your mind left to pray is, "Lord, I don't have enough." That's where we find the widow of Zarephath here in 1 Kings 17. A handful of meal, a little oil, a final meal before dying. Yet, God sends Elijah the prophet right to her doorstep. right to her doorstep. And through her obedience, we see in the passage, and we'll talk more about, God shows that his supply never runs dry. My God does not fail. This story isn't just about physical provision, although we see physical provision for the widow and her son. It's amazing, supernatural miracle. But it's not just about having enough food to eat so you don't die. It's about trusting the provider. Trusting the provider. The same God who did the miracle for the widow woman in 1 Kings 17 and filled her barrel is still faithful today to fill yours. To fill yours. Physically, yes. Spiritually, of course. Emotionally, he will fill you. And we'll talk about this at the end, but it all goes back to the ultimate provision was not meal or oil, but in the cross of Jesus Christ, the ultimate provision. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is exactly all we needed. So let's look through the passage this morning. Verse number 8, let's go back there. If you have it, just listen if you don't have a Bible. Verse 8 says this, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In verse number 9. Number one is this, when it comes to God's provision, as we're working through this passage. Number one is this, the Lord's word precedes the Lord's work. The Lord's word precedes the Lord's work. Before God ever performs a work, he sends his word. Elijah's provision didn't begin when he reached Zarephath. No, it began when God told him, hey, I want you to go from where you're at, go to Zarephath. Zarephath was enemy territory. This was the enemy. But God called him there. The miracle began when God spoke. It was already in motion before Elijah ever even left the brook where he was resting. When God sends his word in our life, it's not just information, but it's instruction. Elijah had to trust that the God who spoke would supply as well. Listen, true faith. As a Christian, as a child of God, I've walked it, I've lived it, I've failed at it. True faith doesn't wait to see before it walks. No, it walks because it has heard. It walks because it has heard God's voice. Psalm 33:9 says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Listen, don't expect the work of God in your life if you're ignoring the word of God in your life. We all want God to do big things for us. I want God to answer my prayers. I want God to provide me. All these things that we want from God, but we refuse to obey what his word says. Too often we say that we're waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do something. When God's waiting on us to just obey him and do what he's told us to do. If you want to see God's provision in your life, whether it be physically, emotionally, whatever, fill in the blank. If you want to see God's provision in your life, start by aligning yourself under his word. This is your guidebook. This is the answer. Listen, the brook may dry up, but his promises never will. God told the widow to put his purpose first in the middle of her poverty. She had nothing left. She was trying to take care of her son and herself. Not a bad thing. Listen, we take care of our kids. Parents, you understand that. But God had other plans. She's asked to give away what little she has. But when we put God first, listen, when we put God first, when you put God first, he takes responsibility for the rest. When God began to work in Marissa and I's heart about moving to Cape Cod and planting a church, there was no building. There was no any. There was really no people besides our immediate family. And we were in our house in Michigan and thinking about it and talking about it, praying with the boys when they were just little. I remember praying in their bunk beds every night. God bless Donald and Brady was just pretty much a baby. And we're praying and saying, Lord, bless Coastline Baptist Church. We didn't know what it would look like, where it would be, what town it would be. We knew nothing about it. But God's voice spoke to us. God said, I want you to go and do it. So we, with the faith that we could muster up, walked in faith, not seeing it yet, but believing that God would do what he said he would do. The Lord's word always precedes the Lord. What is God calling you to do? Not the big stuff. Yes, maybe God wants some of you to do some big things. Maybe God wants some of you men to pastor a church. Maybe God wants some of you to be a missionary. I don't know. But even how about the little things? How about just putting God first, the first part of your day? How about giving God some time with the both of you? How about prayer? How about faithfulness to church? How about sharing your faith? What is God calling you to do? You're waiting on a big answer from him. You're waiting on his answer, on answers to your prayers. And God is waiting on you to obey. The Lord's word precedes the Lord's work. Number two is this in verse 10. Verse 10, Elijah said to her, "Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and then I'll, and after make for thee and thy son." Number two is this. The Lord's priority precedes the Lord's provision. So the lady says, "I don't have enough for anything." He goes, "That's fine." He says, "Go make me one first and then make one for you and your son." If I was the mother, I feel like I'd want to be like, "Bro, if we have any left, you can have some." But Elijah, God is trying to do something here. The Lord's priority precedes the Lord's provision. This is where the story turns from the logical to the spiritual. Logically, she'd say, "No, man, I don't have enough for you. I just told you that. I can get you some water. I don't have enough food for you." The widow had one meal left, yet Elijah, God's prophet, asked her to give the first portion to him. And on the surface, that seems kind of selfish and unfair, but no, God was not trying to take from the widow. He was trying to teach her. God told the widow to put his purpose first. In the middle of her poverty, she's asked to give away what little that she has. And when we put, like I said earlier, when we put God first, he takes responsibility for the rest. This wasn't about Elijah taking food from a widow. On the surface, that seems kind of rude. This wasn't about Elijah taking food from a widow. No, it was about God teaching her to trust his order. God's kingdom always works on divine order. Faith before sight. Obedience before understanding. Giving before gaining. That's how God works. When we put God first, we're declaring that we trust his hands more than our own. We trust him. The widow learned that God's order is never meant to deprive us. No, he's never trying to hurt us. It's meant to develop us. The greatest lessons that I have learned in my life as a Christian have been in my most challenging times. The times in my life where I have gotten closest to God and seen his face in the realest way are not in the comfortable times. They're not in the times when everything's going great. No, the times when I have seen God move, the times when I felt God's presence so real in my life have not been when it's sunny and everything's great. No, it's been in the storms of life. Right. God's order is not meant to deprive us. It's meant to develop us. Every time we give God first place, we make room for him to do what only he can do. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, a great principle. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. We give God first. The widow didn't realize that obedience in this moment of making this little cake for Elijah would open the door to months and months of supernatural supply. Because that barrel and that cruse of oil, she'd make a cake, go back, and there's still some there. It just never ran out. A miracle. If she had said, "After I take care of myself, I'll give what's left," she would have missed the miracle. But by giving first, she declared, "I trust your promise more than my own barrel and cruse. I'm trusting you." And that's when God stepped in. Listen, you'll hear this statement, church. You'll never outgive the one who gave his son. He gave his son. You'll never outgive God. God blesses where he's first, not where he just fit in. Isn't it amazing? God does bless us in spite of us. We could be living without him first, and still he's so good to us. But you want to experience the blessings of God in a way you've never, put him first. Put him first. If you want the Lord's provision, put him in the proper place. First in your finances. That's a tough one, especially on Cape. I hear you. I'm telling you, I understand that. You want to see God's blessing? Put him first in your finances. Put him first in your decisions. Put him first in your day. Oh, well, how easy is it? I don't even have it up here. If I have my phone, we roll over. What's the first thing we do? We scroll, scroll, scroll. We doom scroll first part of the day. It's so habitual for us, isn't it? How about giving God the first part of your day? How about giving God that first 5 minutes? When you put him first, when you do that, you'll find that even in famine, your faith will flourish. God works in those times of want. His priority precedes his provision. Number three, verse number nine again says, God told Elijah in verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And then verse 15, we saw that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She did what was asked of her. Number three is this, the Lord's power works through the Lord's people. The Lord's power works through the Lord's people. God could have used anybody to meet Elijah's need, but he chose a poor widow in a pagan land. God delights, listen church, God delights in using unlikely people in unexpected places to display his power and his compassion. The widow obeyed. When she obeyed, both she and Elijah were sustained. Her obedience didn't just bless the prophet of God, Elijah. No, it blessed her household. God's power flows through willing vessels, not perfect ones. God's power flows best through people who are willing to be used of God, not perfect ones. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Luke 4:25. Jesus referenced this very story in his teachings in the New Testament to show that God's grace extends far beyond Israel to the undeserving. The Lord's power works through the Lord's people. Never underestimate how God might use you. You may feel unusable. You may feel like you don't have any gifts, anything to offer. And I'm telling you, if you are willing, God can and will use you. You may feel too weak, too small, too broken, but God delights. Listen, God delights in using people who have nothing left but faith. Right. And by the way, God, yes, can use any of us. He uses unlikely people. But also, don't overlook the people that God sends your way to help you. You may be like, amen, God can use me, but then God puts someone in your life to help, and you're like, nah, that person can't help me. Listen, sometimes the provision that you need walks into your life disguised as a person you didn't expect. Listen, the question is not whether or not God can provide, but whether you'll obey when he calls. I remember when I was in Michigan, I had a Jeep Cherokee, one of my first vehicles, and I didn't know anything about vehicles at the time. I was young. I didn't take care of it at all. And it started falling apart. And some guys in the church there, one guy worked at a Jeep dealership in the mechanic shop, and he looked at it, and I knew it was going to be expensive. We didn't have a lot of money. And I remember him calling me, and he said something that I've kept forever. He called me on the phone. I was in my little church office as a youth pastor, and he said, yeah, it's going to be like, you know, $600-$700. I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm... Good thing I live right next to the church. I don't have to drive anywhere. He said, but I want to take care of that. And me trying to be like, you know, new staff member at the church, like, oh, brother, you don't have to do that. You know how we all do that? Sometimes people try to offer you like, no, no, it's fine. No, thank you. But really, I promise. It really ends up a lot of times being our pride. And I was just like, no. And he said, he was kind of an odd guy. He really was. But he said, you really shouldn't stop somebody from trying to be a blessing to you. And I was like, ooh. And I said, I said, you're right. I'm sorry. Like, he's just trying to do something nice. He's trying to follow God's leading in his life to be a blessing to me. Yeah, it was expensive. Listen, it's also very natural for us. If someone says, hey, here's all this money for free, you're almost like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't take it. That's kind of how I was. And he said, if someone wants to be a blessing to you, you shouldn't stop them. And I was like, man, okay. So then going forward, if someone offered it, over me, I'd be like, okay, thanks. You know what I mean? Thank you. Great. I stopped fighting against it. And for us, some of us are still in that zone where someone tries to help you. Someone tries to do something for you. And us, we are so, our human nature wants so badly to be so independent. Even though we say, like, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. We try to live lives of independence. So when anyone else, even if they don't know you have a need, but they try to help, we kind of, I got it. Listen, we as people, as children of God, as disciples of Christ, don't overlook the people that God sends your way to help you. You never know who God can use. So trust him. If God opens up a door, man, go through it. Let people help you. Let people be a blessing to you. Listen, I promise it's such a wonderful change of thinking if you can just let people help you. Not just with money, with words of, with friendship, with words of advice, with prayer. Let people help you. The Lord's power works through the Lord's people. And lastly is this, verse 14. Elijah said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God's provision for this widow woman didn't come in abundance. It wasn't like she turned around and her barrel was overflowing, rolling out the sides. Her cruse of oil, little thing of oil, wasn't like bursting at the seams. No. The provision of God didn't come in overabundance. It came in continuance. Okay? Every day, after Elijah left, went and did his thing, and she's there with her son, every day she found that there was still enough. The supply didn't overflow, but it didn't run out either. And that's the beauty, church, of daily dependence. Daily dependence. The God who provides today is the same God who will be faithful tomorrow. That's God. The widow's faith grew as she learned that God's word, what he says, sustains what her hands cannot. The miracle wasn't having plenty, it was just in never lacking. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Matthew 6:11, what is the motto prayer that Jesus gave us? Give us this day bread that'll last forever. No, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God may not fill your barrel to the brim, but he'll make sure it never goes empty. We don't live on stockpiled blessings. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, you know what? The truth is, God, there are some people that God chooses. Christian, good people that love God. It's not like every person that is rich or very wealthy is against God. No, God blesses people. Some of the greatest Christians I know are very, very wealthy people that give and give and give and give. I can think of a guy at our church in Michigan that took such good care of us, always was trying to bless us financially, had a big, beautiful house and all these things, and he loved Jesus and he gave and gave and gave. Some people, yes, God chooses to bless with finances. So I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich, but the truth is for the rest of us, for me, I'm not supposed to live on stockpiled blessings. No, I live on sustaining grace. The provision of God isn't a one-time event. It's a daily experience. So if you're anxious about tomorrow, yes, maybe it is financial stress, but maybe it is emotional stress or your life in general. You're like, what's going to happen? I don't think I have enough, whatever, strength, patience, fill in the blank. Listen, if you're anxious about tomorrow, remember the same God who filled today's barrel, who gave you the strength to get up today, is going to be there tomorrow when you wake up. His mercies are new every morning. Don't wait for overflow to thank him. Praise him for the handful that hasn't run out. Woo! The Lord just used that in my heart. I need that. Man, do I need that. Oh, don't wait for the overflow to bless him and thank him. Praise him for now. Praise him for what he's doing for you now. You know what? I had gas in my car to get here this morning. Thank you, God. That had enough detergent to do a load of laundry last night. Thank you, God. God's taking good care of me. He's taking good care of you. Let's trust Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. We sing the song so often, that old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father." And then the chorus, you know, says, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto Thee." Every miracle, though, listen, church, as we finish up this morning, every miracle in Scripture, including this one, points to a greater miracle of redemption. Long after Elijah and the widow were gone, mankind was still starving spiritually, empty, hopeless, lost. But like I said at the beginning of this message, and we're finishing with it because it's what it all goes back to, God sent His ultimate provision in His Son, Jesus Christ. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" The cross is God's declaration that He will provide for your sin, for your soul, for your eternity. And the same Savior who satisfied the wrath of God on Calvary still satisfies the hunger of every heart that comes to Him by faith. And at the cross, God provided for our deepest need, more than bills, more than patience. God provided for our deepest need, and that need was we needed a Savior. We needed salvation, and Jesus paid our debt. Jesus bore our sin upon Himself. Jesus rose again to give us eternal life. That's not just provision, that's redemption. So if you're empty, come to the Lord who fills. Because guess what? Even when I ain't got no money, I got Jesus. Amen. Hey, even when my health or your health is deteriorating or whatever, you still got Jesus. Even when, your car won't start, you still got Jesus. He is all that I need. Hey, He is more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So when everything else seems to be gone, when I feel like my prayers aren't getting answered, when the sun in my life doesn't seem to shine, when the rain feels like it continually beats down on me, and all hope seems lost, I still have Jesus. And He is more than enough for you. Stop searching this world for anything else to satisfy your hunger. Nothing will be enough. Money won't be enough. Popularity won't be enough. A better job won't be enough. A better relationship won't be enough. Jesus is all that is enough. Jesus is all that is enough. Every single time, your addictions will not satisfy you. Your vices will not satisfy you. Hey, your marriage will not satisfy you. Your kids will not satisfy what only God can satisfy. Yes, I believe the Lord provides. And yes, I have seen Him provide for me financially in miraculous ways. I have seen Him answer prayers for health. I've seen all that. But beyond all of that, I believe the Lord provides everything I need in my life to follow Him. And you know what that is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all that you need. He's enough, and He's more than enough. So if you're empty, come to the Lord who fills. If you're wandering, return to the Word that leads. If you're weary, rest in the promise that still sustains. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. The widow gave her last handful and found that God was her endless supply. When we give God what we have, we discover that He's everything we need. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.